Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered and not to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
I think Leroy needs something.
Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered and not to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
Oh my god, he just ran in.
GLaDOS has the switchboard tough. I mean, Leroy mm-hmm. came on and then the button disappeared. Like, you are not turning this off. I like this. That's what she said. Good morning, lovely people.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you and you and you. Yes.
Yay.
I got to tell you what's going on over here later. All right. How are you people doing out there? How you doing, Ginger?
I'm sleepy. How are you doing?
I think I'm strangely alert and sleepy at the same time. Figure that one out.
You would think I wouldn't be. I got plenty of sleep last night, but
I know I did. I got lots of sleep.
got to drink the water, not breathe it.
Not on purpose, but yeah, I got lots of sleep. Ginger, don't die.
I know, right?
Please don't die. Don't die. We need you. We need you here. We desperately need you. So I told Ginger before the show, I have joined the ranks of you droid people.
Yay! She's over on the dark side.
Electro Girl kills yet another phone.
Poor phone.
It's still alive. It's hanging on by a thread. And it's actually, the alarms are working, but those of you who saw this morning, I was up at an ungodly hour for me. I am up at that time, but I usually go back to sleep and then, you know, get up again before we do the show. You know, I know it's crazy, but I do. And I was up and I was like, my phone was singing, good morning, good morning. Like, who is singing to me?
Wow.
It sounded like one of those little songs from the 60s, you know? Mm-hmm. Who is singing to me? Did Austin Powers land in here? What? It was really weird. So I Twittered, my first Twitter from the phone. Yay. I think I may have met the first phone that may out-tech me. I'm really like, I'm looking at it now. You should see the way I'm looking at it. Like, you stay right there where I can see you. You are up to something.
Yeah.
I know you are. It keeps beeping at me. I don't know these noises and stuff. So I don't know what this means, these light little cute beeps. You're too cute. See, that's why I like my other phone. It was robust. When the alarm went off, you knew the alarm was going off. It was like, get up. It's time to get up, Corey.
Mine makes a horrible noise when the alarm goes off.
No. And I like that horrible noise because it wakes you, of course, it makes you up angry, but you get up. So I was all confuffled this morning. I was like, I don't know, what is that beep? What is a night? Oh, yeah, and the one before the show? Chicken. It was a chicken. I didn't pick that.
A chicken?
A rooster. You know, a rooster.
No, see? All right, now I got to tell a story. Back when the iPhone first came out, and somebody went and got the brand-new iPhones, the first editions of them, and they decided it would be fun to download this turkey collar.
Mm-mm.
And they're not paying attention. People know not behind me.
You know what? GLaDOS has taken over your speech.
Oh, God, GLaDOS. Oh.
GLaDOS. Yeah, I was expecting you to stop and say, are you still there?
Are you still there?
I love when she says that. I'm sorry.
Am I still?
Yeah, no, you're fine now. There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, person downloaded a turkey collar and set it off behind me, right behind my ear. Well, my first thing when you scare me is to turn around and hit something. I hit my phone. And
okay, you're back to, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was a funny story. It's not going to work because GLaDOS is humping me.
Oh. And there Jay has his sexual reference for the day. You know that's what he's waiting for. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning to you. All right, so we got to get into some news. Yeah, anybody that knows how to work this crazy Droid phone, it isn't Optimus. It's from Virgin Mobile. I'm staying with my Virgin Mobile. Ride or die, baby. Ride or die. I love you, Virgin Mobile. All right. Ginger, are you still with me?
I'm Ginger, still here. I
can hear you. GLaDOS does not want you to speak, though. Every time you start to speak, she just steps in.
GLaDOS
is like, no. So in that instance, I'm going to go first. So, yay. Well, we give Ginger GLaDOS you know, a bit to work it out. They're having issues. All right. So, as you saw before the show, I Twittered not from the new Droid phone, but from our switchboard. There's some juicy things going on at Microsoft. As you all hear us often say, you should buy stock in all your favorite companies, especially the ones you know that do well. So I got some stock in Microsoft, and I got a lovely letter this morning talking about some new things you probably won't be hearing about, but I know about them. And nowhere in my little packet does it say I cannot share them with you. All right, so I'm just going to highlight some things that they mentioned in the letter because this is not a formal news story. We did not write it out before the show. It was really last minute. Of course, you've heard us talk about the fact that they're going to be launching Windows 8 on one of the Samsung tablets. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Here is the juicy. You know how you all are saying, oh, we are so sick of Kinect. Kinect doesn't do anything. Well, Microsoft says, what if we put it in a business setting? Ah. Did you hear that, Ginger?
Ah. Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so they're saying they're going to continue their work with Windows Azure. Your Office 365, not going anywhere, as much as I hate it. Also, Microsoft Dynamics Services will still be around. For us, they're saying they're focused on Skype. So if you haven't noticed also this morning, Skype, they were supporting ads before, but now there's like moving ads. I don't like it at all, which is probably what's causing some of Ginger's GLaDOS things. I don't know how to close that window. Does yours have the ads running on it?
No, I don't see any ads.
Yeah, mine were. Maybe it's me that's causing your problems. I'll have to make sure it's not me. Also, they're saying Bing, Windows Live, and Xbox. And, of course, here's the part about Kinect. Okay, so they're saying they're going to advance Kinect beyond entertainment to business, to science, to education, and medicine by connecting it to Windows. Huh? What's shake, Ladybug?
I said, that's kind of cool in a way.
It is. But it's going to be connected to the Windows PC and your Windows phone.
Ooh.
Ooh. they're also saying Bing will have a broad impact beyond search, as they're going to apply its understanding of the world's people and knowledge to scenarios that help individuals accomplish a task. Imagine that instead of trying to print a boarding pass by finding a website and typing in a confirmation code, you could simply say, print my boarding pass. Oh, that hints at so much. Ah, lovely, lovely. So anyway, that's what I got this morning. It's a very long letter. A lot of it has to do with how much their financial highlights, which I have not read over, and I may pop in later on in the show to talk about the how they've been doing so far with the money, monetarily wise. We haven't heard anything bad about them, but I actually have the figures in front of me now, so I will tell you directly. You don't have to read it nowhere. Listen here. Listen here live. But anyway.
All right. No, the Chinatech of the world, and I don't know anything about that. I prefer Google to the world, Android.
Well,
Google, not so much a fan.
Google already had the world, so they. I don't know what's going on. I think we're in for a really big shift. A lot of you thinking that the world's going to end next year. Or is it 2012? Yeah, I think we're going to have a big shift in a lot of things, but it won't be the world ending. I think the world as we know it may end, but some new things may rise from the ashes, just so you're aware.
Yay!
GLaDOS, let her go.
Is GLaDOS still humping me?
No, she let you go. It may have been me. Seriously, I'm checking through, making sure I have stuff, you know, closed that I don't normally have open during the show. I think I had a game open that I didn't realize I had open. So you sound much clearer now. It may have been me.
That's awesome, because all I have is my Firefox open, which, you know, Firefox has been a brat recently.
Very true, very true.
All right. It's been the year for fights.
Oh, there she is again. Damn it. GLaDOS. Oh, Ginger, they don't want to play with you this morning at all. All right. As soon as you start speaking, it's like it's fine. I don't hear any digital, you know, feedback. But as soon as you start speaking, GLaDOS is like, no.
I wonder.
Okay, you check and see what the GLaDOS issue is. I got another one I can do. Okay, Ginger's going to go and do some technical stuff to handle her technical difficulties. Please stand by. Oh, no, Windows, you will not be doing any updates. Okay, but while she does that, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I got next up on my plate. Apparently, there's a fight against console piracy. Am I making sure I read this? Yeah, making sure I'm on the right story. Apparently, over at GI.biz this morning, they're talking about as we move into the fourth quarter of games, the games industry is preparing for what is traditionally the busiest and most lucrative time of the year also for us as well. Security specialists at major platform holders are preparing themselves for the latest battle in the never-ending war against piracy. This is from, did I say this from GI.biz this morning? Yeah, I'm still crazy. They're saying it's a story of mixed fortunes for Microsoft and Sony, while Nintendo looks on in worry as Far East reverse engineers probe the security systems of the floundering DS. Comparisons between console and PC anti-piracy countermeasures are intriguing. Owing them to the open nature of the PC platform, copy protection measures can be very real, intrusive issues for players. But in theory, on a fixed console platform, anti-piracy technology should be no more inconvenient for gamers than an occasional firmware update. The engineers have control of the complete eco-structure of the system, including the all-important operating system itself. That said, the situation doesn't look so fantastic right now for Microsoft, the most proactive of all the console manufacturers in its attempts to secure its own system. Recent efforts to lock out pirates from Xbox Live have resulted in innocent victims of perhaps overzealous bandwave. And hackers always seem to be one step ahead of Microsoft's attempts to block copied games. Historically, the Xbox 360 format has suffered from the blight of copied games owing to a major oversight in the design of the console itself. From a security standpoint, the design of the hardware is very elegant, and hardware exploits such as the notorious GTAG hack were able to be patched with dashboard updates, but the unencrypted nature of the DVD-ROM firmwares in earlier 360s enable games to be copied and played on the hardware, and that in to the way the system works has allowed hackers to overcome later revisions to the DVD-ROM architecture. Wow. This is a very long article. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But it's very informative if you're into knowing the inner workings of, you know, why they do what they do. There's another update that they put out, I think, 8 months ago, AP 2.5 update, which is supposed to lock out pirates using a new boot check. But cause problems. So I don't know what they're going to do. This is a tough road to walk. And I know this article is kind of hinting that they didn't do very well over the last few quarters, but they haven't deviated much. It's part of the reason why I have Microsoft stock. It doesn't deviate much from between the $28 and the $36 share price. And yes, I mean, it is $36 for one share. You can afford that. You spend that a month on coffee. If you do that each month before the end of the year, you'll have 12 shares. And then that's a lot of money. By the time Christmas comes, you sell it, you buy all your Christmas presents. Kid you not, I've never seen Microsoft just be horribly, horribly low. Not even when they released Vista. It was never low. So I don't think the hinting that they're doing terrible, and even PlayStation, as you know, with all the stuff going on with them, stock came back up. They're talking about Nintendo, the 3DS. Oh, it's floundering. It's not selling like they're hoping it will, but it's still selling. People are still buying it. So, and my Nintendo stock wasn't terribly low, although, you know, we have a lot of sensational journalism in gaming, too. I think we get overzealous. We're all and
we get overzealous? No way.
Oh, they start getting this. Oh, the stock is in the toilet. It dropped 1 point. No, when it drops 30, then you talk to me. Then I need to get rid of it. Come on now, people. That's simple mathematics.
All right. Well, more fights. Maybe GLaDOS will actually let me talk this time.
Well, Jay said that's what happens when you go for GLaDOS cakes.
But they're so good.
GLaDOS, I had nothing to do with it.
All right. GamePolitics.com this morning looks like they are pulling this from Gamma Sutra. EA sues Energy Armor over EA logo.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. If imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, why isn't Electronic Arts blushing at the compliments inadvertently or on purpose bestowed upon them by Energy Armor? Because lawsuits carry sweet things in corporate America, of course. Electronic Arts has sued Energy Armor, who does business using the same initials, and because their logo looks suspiciously like EA's. Not so much suspiciously, that is EA's logo right there.
Oh, really? Where's this at?
On GamePolitics.com this morning. The Florida-based fitness company is being accused by EA of intentionally deceiving consumers by using image and a logo with a trapezoidal shape similar to the one used by Electronic Arts.
Ooh, that is way too close.
Mm-hmm. The company files complaints in California. The company also takes issue with Energy Armor using celebrities and sports team associations to sell its products because it is similar to how Electronic Arts advertises and markets EA sports products. All right, they sell fitness stuff. It's not so far a stretch to see them using sports teams and officials, you know? So that's going a bit far, yay. All right, but the other one, yes, I would smack their pee-pee for what they're using their logo for. All right, so what have we got here? Energy Armor's use of the Energy Armor EA mark is likely to cause confusion or to cause mistake or to deceive consumers as to an affiliation, connection, or association between Energy Armor and Electronic Arts. And this is coming from EA. Indeed, consumers are likely that Electronic Arts is of Energy Armor's EA-branded products or has authorized or licensed Energy Armor. Electronic Arts also says that...
You're gone. You're all... Wow, GLaDOS. Yeah, GLaDOS does not want to let you go. Okay. Okay, shorten it up, and then tell us, because she doesn't want to let you do the whole thing.
Electronic Arts and Energy Armor are going to go head-to-head because Energy Armor is stupid and is trying to piggyback off of EA. And EA is saying, oh, no, you don't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's very close. But here's the thing, EA. Just go buy them. Buy them out, fire them. That's what you do with everything else. Just buy them out, fire them, and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember there was another game company that was using a name very similar to EA, which used to confuse us a lot way back in the day. Electric Artists, I believe their name was. Ooh. And they referred to themselves as EA as well. And they were relatively new. Electronic Artists or something like that. And I don't know if they ever went after them, but they have disappeared from the face of the earth, just so you know. I don't think they're in existence. If they are, they're very, very small and hiding somewhere because I haven't received an email from them in years. I don't know why they would do this, and the fact that they're being quiet, or if they're using this for publicity. I mean, this was a smart move if it's for publicity.
I don't know, but either way, they're about to get smacked down. EA is not going to take this well.
They are not taking it well, since they've already told them, you know, stop it. And that's not a company you want to mess with. When we tell you they're the devil, we're not playing around. They are the devil. Well, more zombies. As if you didn't get enough. And we don't. Sega, yeah, has announced that the zombie-themed crime game Yakuza of the End will be coming to North America and Europe next March. Mm-hmm. Next March as Yakuza Dead Souls exclusively for Sony's PlayStation 3. See, that's what we need. Get back to exclusivity. You want to sell your consoles. That's how you do it, people. The latest game in the Yakuza series, of course, takes place in Tokyo, the Red Light District, and it's overrun with the undead. It's the first title in the popular series to feature gunplay involving everything from pistols to machine guns and, yes, rocket launchers, because you know how we love our rocket launchers. The Yakuza series is a consistent top seller in Japan. Of the End dominated Japanese sales charts upon its June release, selling nearly 300,000 copies in a week.
Wow.
Wow, you got some static going on over there. Even when you're muted, it's staticky. Wow. Comcast is not being your friend today either. Yeah.
No. Time Warner, let's stop being...
Mm-hmm. I think there's an outage. It's a rolling outage, honestly. I was watching Wendy's show this morning, and she said her internet and cable were out of her house yesterday, and you're having issues, and, you know, then I had issues over the weekend. I think there's something going on. Are they upgrading the internet? Did we get a patch or something? I don't know.
This is not available.
Yeah,
epic fail.
Yes. Also, of course, previous editions of the Yakuza series have seen Western releases only a year or more after their Japanese premiere, so we get it a year later, and they have attracted a smaller but still devoted audience outside Japan. They're saying we know how much people love Yakuza in the West, and with Dead Souls being the latest and greatest in the franchise, it's only right we bring it to them closer to the Japan release than ever. Why you weren't giving it to us before? We all love Yakuza is Japanese mafia. Can we just all you had to do was explain that Yakuza and then put Japanese mafia. Mafia is in the title. People will play here in the U.S. We love mobsters. I don't know why, but that's our thing. Of course, Sega drew controversy last year for removing content, including 22 side missions and 4 mini games from the Western release of Yakuza 3, citing the need for a speedy translation. Yakuza 4 Western release saw only minimal changes when it hit the store shelves earlier this year. In a press statement from Yakuza Dead Souls, Sega assured the Western translation will include the entire storyline, Japanese downloadable content, and a brand new mini game from Patch Slot. The company announced in June the Yakuza series, of course, have shipped over 5 million copies worldwide since it began in late 2005. So we had a All Your Base Are Belong to Us thing going on.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Very, very, very interesting.
I need me a Skype app. No.
All right. More fights. More fights. Hopefully GLaDOS will let me go. GamePolitics.com this morning. Belgium court orders ISPs to block the Pirate Bay.
Oh, come on. No, you don't. Don't you do it.
The court has overturned a recent ruling which says that the ISPs block the Pirate Commercial Court, Belgian Anti-Piracy Federation.
Yeah, GLaDOS is not playing with you today. She is like, no, Ginger, no. Okay, try again, because it's Pirate Bay.
All right. Can you hear me? The subscriber access to the world's most famous torrent site was blocked. Those two ISPs, Belgacom and Telenet, must now implement a DNS blockade of the site within 14 days or fine. Clinton trial the ISPs to court that it wasn't their job to decide what can and cannot be accessed by its users. They have accused them of providing tape to the pirate and filed an appeal. The decision in that appeal proved to be a win for the Belgian Anti-Piracy Federation. Nupra, a nonprofit Belgian advocacy group for online digital rights, said that they were disappointed with the court's decision. Spokesman Andre Leponte adds that the ruling could run into difficulties under human rights legislation. Is it a human right to be a pirate? Right, so Leponte says the decision of the Antwerp Court of Appeal in the case against Belgacom BAS Telenet sets a dangerous precedent for blocking of content by internet service providers in Belgium. It is incompatible with the doctrine of proportionality advocated by the European Court of Human Rights. By imposing a site-wide blockade, Leconte says the Court of Appeal has disproportionately censored all content indexed by the site, including legitimately available material. It's kind of Pirate Bay. I'm pretty sure the legitimate material is going to be far less than the non-legitimate material.
Yeah, because people put all kinds of stuff up there. It's software, apps.
Yeah.
You stop beeping at me, little phone. I don't know what you want.
Beep, 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 beep.
Maybe it wants to be fed.
Oh.
Oh, that was Jay tweeting me. See, I got a new noise now. Oh, Ginger, he said to you, he just want to say, this was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success.
Jay, I love you. You're so awesome.
Oh, GLaDOS lives in our switchboard. GLaDOS, can you just back away? Let Ginger speak. Ginger's got important things to do.
Yes, I have important things to do. People will be my voice, darn it.
Yes, you're right. Okay, I got some two good stories here. I'm not sure which one to do first. All right, let's start with this one because we've been following this for a long time. So you've been wondering what's happening to those Team Bondi folks, right? Yeah, you wonder. People that made that little game, L.A. Noir. Mm-hmm. Well, documents were filed today through the Australian Securities and Investments Commission that reveal that L.A. Noir developer Team Bondi is in the process of closing down fully. Last month, Team Bondi was placed into administration with a notification of discharge filed. Now, I don't know what that means because it's an Australian thing. So I'm assuming that means they were maybe filing for bankruptcy. I don't know what that means. Somebody from Australia, let us know. I'm sure you will. Now a notification of the appointment of liquidator has been filed along with the resignation of the Team Bondi administration. Another document titled Special Resolution to Wind Up Company was also filed. None of this sounds good. Although L.A. Noire received critical acclaim when it was released in May, the development studio behind the game has been shrouded in controversy ever since. In June, it came to light that over 100 developers were not included in the final credits roll for the game. According to former employees who launched a website dedicated to spotlighting their contributions, Team Bondi Studio head Brandon McNamara also found himself under fire following the release of L.A. Noire, with anonymous ex-staffers accusing him of mismanagement, an allegation that he denied. Well, I'm on the fence about that whole thing there because it took apart the studio. You guys made a great product and probably would have been best. On one hand, I know you have to speak as soon as it's done, but you weren't named as, you know, as part of the credits. So now you'll never be named as part of the credits. You will never get the credit for that. And not only that, now since you helped the company dissolve, there's nobody to even verify that you even worked on the game. Hell, I could say I worked on it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was a smart idea to do it so soon, you know, as soon as the game was released or the week or any of that. You probably, maybe a month or two. Wait till you get some sales and then say, hey, what's up? We didn't get any credit. We want our names on it. We waited. The game's doing well. But it's sad. And there will be never be another part two. And, you know, you got no job references. I'm all about waiting until, not till it does the most damage. Well, that would have been a good thing. You did a lot of damage, but you didn't do damage in that aired on the side of good for yourself. I put it that way. It's the company's gone now. You have no references, nothing. So good luck to y'all. I'm sorry to see that happen. I hope you all get new jobs.
All right.
If GLaDOS is going to let you speak, that is.
Is she still on me?
She's still on you. You want me to do another one so we can give her some time?
At this point, I have no idea. I've reset my router, but
it could, well, let me look at my stuff all looks to be green and you know, beautiful. Let's move some stuff away from some stuff and see if that helps. Let me spread out these gadgets. You all saw, it looks like a computer store exploded in my office, seriously. a gadget store, there's so much stuff in here. So it really could be me. Something maybe trying to talk to something else and it's like, right at the moment you start to speak. Because when you're not speaking, there's no problem. As soon as you speak, okay, I'm going to unplug a phone and move it across the other side away from the... Okay, there you go. You stay there with the other phone. Y'all talk, okay? Work it out. All right. Apparently, Ubisoft... Ubisoft is maintaining its strong support for Microsoft's motion-sensing Xbox 360 peripheral, the Kinect. Ubisoft, of course, is known to support new platforms in their early stages, and the Kinect's holiday 2010 launch was no different. Out of around 17 launch window Kinect games, Ubisoft laid claim to 3, Your Shape Fitness Evolved, which I was all for on the Kinect. I wish it was on Kinect when it came out. I didn't even know Kinect existed, but I was like, this is not going to work without some interaction with that little digital lady. Motion Sports and Fighters Uncaged. Of course, a lot has changed since last year, such as the fact that the device has sold over 10 million units. As a recent Kinect-centric Ubisoft event, Gemma Sutra, who we're borrowing the story from this morning, spoke with Ubisoft SVP of Sales and Marketing, Tony Key, who said, by getting in early and doing all those Kinect games, we were building an advantage. And you can see we're not backing off. We've got many more Kinect games than we did last year coming for this holiday. Key also discussed Ubisoft's unique perspective, explaining what the company has learned 1 year into the Kinect's life, what the audience looks like now, since it's still primarily male. And he says, even with its fitness games, and whether the market is for deep core games to emerge on the system. Every one of those games, of course, is a vast improvement over the previous version. If it's sequel, the technology this year between the improvements that Microsoft have made and what we've learned by getting in early, we've been working on camera games for years. Having this stuff to get out into the marketplace, getting consumer feedback, seeing what works, and improving. Y'all stop sending me Twitter noises. Crazy.
Send more?
Do sweet and bang, it's so little and cute. instead of course, having this stuff out into the marketplace, getting, oh, I'm sorry, I already read that part. Yeah, so last year they're saying with Your Shape Fitness, we found out what people wanted, what worked, what didn't. But you can look at Your Shape too, and you can see how much better the projection is working. Now we've got people on the floor because we've developed tracking of the silhouette as opposed to the skeleton. So that's a big deal, which, yes, it is, because that skeleton business is not working. So that's a big deal because no other game is doing that right now. Well, we did. But anyway, but you can go down and do sit-ups and push-ups and all those kinds of things. You always could on Refit. I don't know why they say nobody else did it. It says if you really want an all-encompassing fitness game, how can you not have floor exercises? So that's a huge advantage that this product is having over its predecessor. He says, is a silhouette tech Ubisoft or Microsoft? He said, no, it's us. It's a tracking projection where it's our tech. It's tracking the silhouette on screen. Microsoft tracks the skeleton. That's what the difference is right now for us to be able to do those floor exercises and a competitive advantage for us over other fitness products. Most of it, he says, a lot of your shape advancements being made were an iteration not only of the last year's Your Shape, but also over Michael Jackson, the experience on Kinect. He says we're continuing to improve our silhouette tracking and our projection technology because that's the one that we developed before we were working with Microsoft on Kinect games. So we're continuing to develop that. All right, so this is another very long one. If you want to know what's going on with Kinect and Ubisoft, I hate to tell them, but we already was using the whole silhouette thing. I don't believe they ever had a skeleton. You could always do floor exercises with them. I dare say the Wii 2, I'm hoping they will step it up a little bit because what is it we were all complaining about when you do the exercises with the Wii Fit? You couldn't string them together, so it was always a stop-start thing, which I think was fixed when they released Wii the Fitness 2 one, but with this whole tablet deal, I love it. And I like the floor thing. I like being able to weigh myself because it's great to be able to do exercises, you know, free form without a controller in Microsoft, but you also need to know you're getting results. You can't tell that until you stand on a scale. Sorry.
Exactly.
And say, I dropped 5 pounds since last week. Then you want to do your exercise. And you want to know how fast you're running and if you're doing your hula hooping right. And I think you just have to have something on you that tells you that. So
yes.
I need that prop, people.
Yes, we do. All right. GLaDOS, leave me alone.
Oh, you sound beautiful. Do it quick before she changes her mind.
SpongeBob surfaces for his boarding debut and SpongeBob Surf and Skate road trip from THQ.
Apparently GLaDOS likes SpongeBob.
GLaDOS.
No, she's letting you do it fine.
Okay,
it's not
good.
All clear. But she
all right, good. Available on Kinect for the Xbox 360, SpongeBob Surf and Skate Road Trip will be the very first game with which players can use the Kinect technology to experience skateboarding and surfing right in their living rooms. The title will also be available on the popular Nintendo DS handheld system. In this brand new road trip adventure, SpongeBob and his friends find themselves taking to the waves on surfboards and tearing up all the gnarliest skateboarding surf with their wildest moves and tricks. SpongeBob's Surf and Skate Road Trip features both single and two-player options for boarders to perfect their awesome skills. In single-player mode, SpongeBob and Patrick set out on a crazy road trip adventure, engaging players in arcade-style, story-driven gameplay. In two-player mode, boarding skills are put to the test with simultaneous head-to-head split-screen action. This is SpongeBob's first game on Kinect for Xbox 360, and for the first time, players will actually become SpongeBob. This is coming from Martin Good, Executive Vice President of PlayTHQ, the company's division for kids, family, and casual games. He goes on to say, it's a great combination of a classic character and amazing technology, not to mention both the first surfing and first skating game ever released for Kinect. On Kinect for Xbox 360, players will surf and skate through 12 totally tubular, oh my god, tubular.
Did he really reach back and grab that? Oh my god.
He did.
What is that, early
80s? Totally tubular environments, yeah. As they perfect their boarding skills and immerse themselves in augmented reality. Using the innovative technology, boarders can reach down and watch the water splash up on the screen. The Kinect version also features a variety of boards and 7 different challenge modes, including flag, mine, timed, and score runs. Using the built-in camera, players can even snap photos and show off their radical moves. With Nintendo DS, players will surf and skate across more than 100 maps and even carve up 10 righteous snowboarding levels, that are unlockable upon completion.
Really?
Those, yeah, really. Those hoping to prove their skills can choose from five. Those hoping to prove their skills can choose from five challenging victory conditions: Combo Mayhem, Untouchable, Score, Win the Race, and Collectible Modes. The Nintendo DS version also features two-player multiplayer and with single multi-card gaming. SpongeBob Surf and Skate Road Trip is scheduled to be available November 8th on Kinect for the Xbox 360 with an MSRP of $49.99 and Nintendo DS with an MSRP of $29.99. Yay, SpongeBob and his totally tubular righteous move.
Who knew SpongeBob and GLaDOS?
I know, right?
Who saw that coming? Nobody did.
Nobody.
I did.
Nobody.
Well, more on the Bethesda thing.
Uh-oh.
I'm hoping if my page will load. Ooh, it's been some issues. Okay. Well. Yes, we've been keeping you updated on this one pretty good because this has been a good fight. Okay, so Bethesda has refused the Scrolls name change. Just flat out refused it. Bethesda refused the Scrolls name change. Just flat out refused it.
Isn't that what they want?
Well, I don't know. Minecraft creator Marcus Persson has revealed that Bethesda refused an offer to change the name of Mojang's latest game from Scrolls. Yeah. Persson, widely known as Notch, posted a reaction on our frenemy's site over at Kotaku. on his own blog, attempting to dispel the idea that the legal dispute between the two companies could be resolved simply by changing the name. No, wasn't that easy. He says, we realized we should apply for the trademark Minecraft to protect our brand. When doing so, we also sent an application for Scrolls, Persson wrote. When Bethesda contacted us, we offered to change the name to Scrolls, some subtitle, and to give it the trademark. They refused on both accounts. Whatever reason they have for suing us, it's not a fear of having us trademark on the word Scrolls, as we've offered to give that up already. Bethesda's lawyer sent a lawyer to Mojang in August, claiming that the name infringed its Elder Scrolls trademark. Initially, Pearson dismissed the matter as lawyers being lawyers, but confirmation that the case would be reaching the courts arrived late September. I think we're offline, Ms. J. Ms. G. Ginger, either? Wow, it's been a lovely day of issues with our technology already this week. Okay, so assuming just Ginger is gone, because the switchboard says one of us is still logged in, let me continue. Yeah, Ginger's gone, bye-bye. All right, so anyway, that settles that little bit on Minecraft and the whole Scrolls issue. I would think... I'm not understanding what it is that they want exactly. Maybe they're just trying to drum up some controversy for their own game and helping Minecraft out in the interim. Who really knows? All right, Sammy. Ah. Okay, apparently Sega Sammy is lowering the revenue forecast. Sega Sammy Holdings has lowered its sales forecast for the half year ending March 2012, excuse me. In a document released yesterday, Sega amended its net sales forecast from 165 billion yen to 150 billion. Poor things. Hardly making any money. The company cited the poor performance, mainly in overseas markets, of its games for the decrease. However, the company's arcade and amusement businesses are expected to perform better than the previous forecast due to its combination of increased sales and reduction in operating expenses. As a result, net income for the whole company is expected to increase from a loss of $3 billion to the profit of $2 billion. Jen, did we get you back? Possibly. All right. Inaccurate, the latest forecast to be consistent with uneven performance of its games business over the last 2 years. In June, Sega Sammy... Wow. Poor Jen. It's either Jen or it's me. There you go. Jen, are you back?
Yeah. All of a sudden, I mean, my internet went down. I get it back up. And then Skype just totally crashes on me.
It's one of those days.
All day long, one of those days.
Evil, evil technology.
Mm-hmm. So evil.
I guess it's rolling in front. Jay Duke, stop it.
Jay, I blame you. I blame you, Jay.
Rolling parchment isn't winning anyone over. Jay, you are horrible. Let me finish reading this because I have stopped in the middle of two different stories. Anyway.
That's sorry.
It includes Sega Sammy's Consumer Division, which includes its console, mobile, and Sobel. So that's going to be the next thing, by the way. It's going to be called Sobel. It's not going to be mobile or social. It's going to be Sobel. Your social network games posted a net loss of $3.85 billion for the period ending June 30th. I did not know that Sega was even in this social mobile realm. I am not sure. Okay, so actually, I got the juicy from our Euro people.
Oh, yeah? What you got?
Just posted. Just posted fresh off the press. The iPod Touch, guess what?
What?
Is now the most popular portable gaming device in the world.
Ooh.
So says Apple, anyway. Destructoid's CEO Tim Cook made the boast during its autumn media briefing yesterday, insisting not only is it the most popular music player in the world, it's the only one now. Come on, Tim. But we're excited to announce it's now also the most popular portable gaming player in the world. Oof. He says you're probably going to want some figures to back that claim up, right? Well, Cook failed to fully detail his math, but he did reveal that the Apple has sold 300 million iPods to date. That's not actually a lot, Cook. Though obviously a significant chunk of its total is made up by the traditional non-touch model screen. He also added that it sold 45 million iPods between June 2010 and June 2011. As a comparison, if one can indeed be made at all, Nintendo sold 27.11 million DS units between March 2010 and March 2011. The PSP also recently passed the 70 million mark for life-to-date sales. So really, Tim, you need to get some numbers before you start making those boasts. All right, Jen, are you ready? Are you all back to normal?
Yes, I am all back to normal, I do believe, maybe.
We got about 4 minutes. Hop on in there. Do it.
All right. Sci-fi PC adventure game Julia to be published by Lace Mamba Global. The upcoming PC sci-fi adventure game Julia will be published by Lace Mamba Global in early 2012. Julia, currently in development at the Czech studio CBE, is a narrative-driven adventure game in a science fiction scenario. In the year 2430, Rachel Manners, a 35-year-old astrobiologist and member of an elite group of scientists, which is sent off on a giant spaceship to mankind's most exciting space mission to explore the first-ever discovered extraterrestrial life form. After a long journey, Rachel suddenly wakes from a cryogenic sleep. She has no Apparently, I don't need GLaDOS. She has no idea why she has been put into this hibernation. Elusive memories to what happened before just starts to find out that she is the only human survivor of her team. To make things worse, their space probe, currently orbiting an unknown planet in a far-off solar system, is severely damaged. Together with her now only companions, Julia, the spaceship's very temperamental artificial intelligence system, and Mobot, a huge reconnaissance robot, Rachel now has to solve the mysteries of the events on board the space vessel, repair it, and explore the unknown planet. It won't take long until she encounters her first extraterrestrial life forms. Players are taking over control of Rachel and have to utilize the Mobot as well as Julia. During their adventure, they will visit 6 different planets. Lace Mamba Global plans to release Julia worldwide, starting in the UK and Ireland in the first quarter of 2012.
Oh, yay. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I was like, crap, did I get disconnected in the middle of it again?
No, you're still here. You're still with us.
Yay!
Part of the crew. Part of the ship. I'm sorry, I had a Pirates of the Caribbean flashback. Well, we are going to take a break as if we need one, because this has been one of our craziest newscasts in a good long time. I think I need to make Jay angry since he keeps chiming in. There you go, Jay. Get up. Break up your office. no responsibility for breaking up offices and whatnot.
No, we don't.
I got some news, Okay, so, of course, it's all over the news. Apple showed off their iPhone 4S. Really? the new handset. I'm not understanding. I thought we were getting the iPhone 5. Everybody's been pre-ordering and everything. Mm-hmm. I've seen the stuff up. Stop twittering me. That noise is scaring me.
Twitter.
He said he just threw his monitor. Okay, this is kind of cool. That's a scrolling tweet. That's hot. I didn't know they could do that. Anyway. Okay, this is a nice little... Okay. You're too much... Just don't grow any arms. Just don't do that, okay? Don't grow any arms and get up and start walking, phone. But I thought we were getting iPhone 5, but here we got... What we got was an iPhone 4S, which is supposed to be the next iteration. The new handset will support the iPad 2's A5 chip, a dual-core graphics processor, an improved 8-megapixel camera that shoots 1080p video, extended battery life, and better call quality. I've never used mine to make... I've never used my iPad to make calls. I don't have an iPhone. Won't be getting one, neither. The iPhone's 4S chips is twice as fast as the iPhone 4, while the graphics chips is 7 times more powerful. It looks virtually identical to the iPhone 4 for the outside, but Apple insisted that all the guts were new. I don't think so. The new phone also comes with a new voice control virtual assistant system called Siri. You'll be able to give Siri commands such as tell me the weather forecast for tomorrow, follow me, find me a restaurant in XXX, or set my alarm for 7 a.m. and it will duly do your bidding. It'll also apparently take dictation, which improves as it learns your voice. Clever stuff. My phone does that now, the one I'm holding. It was asking me this morning. I said something out loud, and it was like, find what? It was like, cancel, stop. The iPhone 4 launches, of course, in black or white on October 14th, which is just next week. In U.S., Canada, Australia, U.K., France, Germany, Japan, with pre-orders starting this Friday. 70 more countries get it by the end of the year, although I do believe Samsung has placed some kind of injunction, so it won't be sold in the U.K., or they're trying to stop it. Something, I don't know. There's another fight going on that I just got wind of like a few seconds ago. So I don't know all the details, but when we do, we'll tell you. How much will it cost? Ginger, what do you think?
$49.99.
We wish.
I'm going to go, I don't know.
Well, they got a bunch of different prices. If you want the 16 gigabytes, because, you know, you just need 16 gigabytes, that's $199 for a 32 gigabyte, $299, or $399, you can get a 64 gigabyte, or just get a damn iPad. This is, of course, with a 2-year contract you have
to
have.
That is cheaper than what I paid when, iPhones originally came out.
Yeah, they were in the 7s and 800s, weren't they?
I paid 500 and something with a 2-year contract.
I don't like contracts. Of course, the iPhone 4 will live on at the new low price. If you're like, I don't really need to have the newest one. I just need it to be a new phone. It don't need to be the newest model. $99 for 8-gigabyte model.
That's not bad.
And you'll also be able to pick up a 3GS for free with a contract. I don't like contracts. Of course, elsewhere during the conference, Apple also detailed what it expected from iOS 5 when it launches on October 12th. Wow. The new operating system brings with it a refined notification system, a new messaging app called iMessage, a personal organizer called Reminders, enhanced Twitter integration, a magazine shopfront called Newsstand, and a few tweaks to camera functionality, tabbed Safari browsing on the iPad. And the Game Center now apparently has 67 million accounts, one of which is mine, also gets an update. You'll also be able to add photos of your friends, recommend games to them, and see their achievement point totals. That's a lot, Apple, but not what we wanted. Not what we wanted at all. We're not pleased with you for giving us this holdover. You could have just held it back and gave us a new iPhone. So we have nothing to show you today.
Yes.
But we got a new iPhone coming out in 2 months that you might want to get.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I will stick with my Droid.
Droid.
You cannot have me back. I love my Droid.
This one's, it's starting to grow on me. I'm telling you, I'm waiting for it to grow arms, though. I'm going to stand up. I'm kid you not, I'm waiting for it to grow arms. It's going to be standing over me talking about Droid, and I'm going to be like, what do you want?
Oh, no. All right, well, it is that season again, people. So here we go. Jack-o'-lantern. Today, Wonky Woo Games, an independent video game development studio, is pleased to announce the release of their fourth title, Jack-o'-lantern. The game is available to download worldwide on the Apple App Store and Mac App Store immediately. Jack-O-Lantern is an animated pumpkin who has lost his body in a strange and spooky world. Your job as the player is to get Jack back to his body, jumping from platform to platform, collecting candy along the way, as this will act as a guide. Guide Jack through 24 unique atmospheric levels inspired by Tim Burton's work. Guide Jack through 24 unique atmospheric levels inspired by Tim Burton's work. The game uses simple and fun drag and release gameplay mechanic that is very addictive and very playable regardless of your age, making it great family entertainment. That's a lot of ands in one sentence. Just saying, people. Watch out for the spiders and breakable platforms, which will slow you down, but help is also available in the form of sticky spider webs. True diehards will be able to unlock the final level and the final challenge. Wonky Woo Games' previous apps have all been for the toddler and education market, so it's exciting to see this team branch out to reach a broader market. The Wonky Woo Games team is a collaboration of family and friends and talented individuals from within the games industry. Darren Wood, Paul Charsley, Tim Wright, known as Cold Storage, are all former members of the award-winning AAA developer Sony Pisogenesis, which Darren Wood and Paul Charsley recently working together at another award-winning developer, Bizarre Creations. Lucia, I'm going to kill your name, I'm so sorry. Kyria Kidio is the talented freelance artist responsible for the art style of the game. All right, so Jack-O-Lantern is available on the App Store and Mac App Store now for the price of 99 cents USD, 79 little C sign, and 69 little S sign. I give up cookies. And Linden.
Yeah. I don't think that's a homage to Jim Burton's work. That sounds like an homage to the what is this, Legend of Spooky Hollow? I think people get confused with the head. You know, you have the head, not the body. It's usually the reverse. Mm-hmm. So get it straight, get it right, people. That's just, but it sounds like fun. I like that the Halloween games are coming out. So that may be added to our list of. I don't think I'm going to do a whole week this week because, wow, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in the real world for me for Halloween. So,
we're keeping her quite busy with the website, too. So,
yes. Wow. Y'all trying to kill me. It's all right, though. I like it. I like it.
I like that y'all are trying to kill me.
I like it. I love it. Go ahead.
I want some more of it.
Stab it. Yeah, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Oof. Unfortunately, that news that I would love to talk about has nothing to do with gaming, so we will not share that with you. Maybe I'll share it on Facebook. Anyway, what? Okay, I got a bunch of stuff that came in like just now. I'll be nice because they keep asking me, Corey, can you do? Yeah. Okay. So apparently, you people that love Sengoku, and if you don't love it, guess what? You didn't read our review. I don't know who tweeted me. Stop it. I don't know how to operate this thing yet, okay? That's you, Ginger. Something about your sandwich. It was scrolling. Okay, I don't know.
I said something about a sandwich?
Or maybe it was me. I don't know. Let me see if it scrolls again. Does it scroll again? No, it doesn't. Somebody tell me how to work this Optimus Prime phone.
Oh, no, that was Jay.
Okay. Optimus Prime. All right, so apparently you haven't read our review for Sengoku written by our lovely Blaster. If you are playing it, there's a patch release today if you're having some issues. They've released a new patch. Let me see what it says. Okay, here's your update. A new starting date, of course, with you can start in 1551. Yes, we mean the year 1551, along with new characters, events, as well as a new end date. Interface contains a back button in dynastic view. I think that's supposed to be dynamic, but I like dynastic the way they wrote it better. Or maybe it is dynasty. I like that word. You have new icons for plot, marriage and diplomacy, impassable mountains, tweaked building construction, and death checks. There's supposed to be smarter AI, the areas of plots, wars, and clan management. And there's some other little bug fixes they say they threw in. They want you to go over and check out their site to see what else is in the patch. And they said, of course, to avoid any compatibility issues, please make sure you get your patches and additions from the same outlet as your base game. So if you bought it from Gamersgate, don't go over to Steam and try to get the patch. Okay? It's, of course, now available on major digital download portals as well as at retail. If you want to go out and pick up a box copy, $29.99. And it's $29.99 in euros, apparently, the same price. I like that. Blaster said he really liked it. He said it was really good. I'm not a fan. I'll tell you about it. You can decide if you like it. I don't think we got any extra keys at this one, but maybe I'll be able to talk about it some in the future. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be able to control a noble family in feudal Japan. You can rise in influence and power inside your clan and then go on to claim the ultimate prize. Conquer and go while rewarding your most valued retainers as you make a bid to become shogun.
Shogun.
There's, of course, a very detailed historical map of Japan during the Warring States era. You can make deals with external factions, including the Portuguese and the Dutch, and employ the powerful aid of ninja clans when your samurai armies are not enough. I want to know if you can see what's going on. Those are the RTSs that I like, when you can see the little ninjas creeping across the map and stuff. It can't be that they just say, our ninjas were killed, sir. I need to see them creeping across the map with a knife so I can watch and laugh. That just makes it all kinds of funny. The Blaster said he loved it, but he's an RTS person.
Yes.
All right, I think we got time for one more, Ginger, and then we are out of here for the day.
One more. Awesome. Okay, I can grab one more. What am I going to grab? All right, here we go. Actually, I got two little short ones because, you know, I love me some Pirates Beware stuff. All right, GamePolitics.com this morning. Pirates Beware, Mario will kill you.
Mario?
Uh-huh, Mario is thrown out. Mm-hmm, Mario's all I bring it, people. All right, to the left you see the banner Nintendo is using on its anti-piracy website's welcome page. All right, you can't see it, but if you go over to GamePolitics.com, you can. Not very welcoming, is it? Oh, no. Mario looks ticked. Yeah. All right, so aside from giving your children nightmares of Mario gutting them like a fish, the site allows visitors to report piracy, learn how to identify counterfeit Nintendo goods, and read up on recent Nintendo anti-piracy news, like its recent victory in France against the sale of RF cartridges. All right, so from the site, the primary goal of the anti-piracy program is to reduce internet piracy, availability of various infringing devices used to play illegal Nintendo game files, and the production and distribution of counterfeit Nintendo products around the world. Through education, rising awareness, and legal actions, Nintendo is working hard to preserve the game industry's ability to make investments into developing new and exciting games, and to give all legally sold Nintendo games a chance to succeed. Well, I guess that is, the writer says, you know, he guesses that is better than a DRM. And they're right. It does beat the DRM. All right, so that was my first little short one. My second little short one, Zune. Anybody still have one of these? I love
it. I do, and I love it.
Yes, that thing was tough.
Yeah,
all right.
It is.
Yes. It took forever to break that thing.
I drop it all the time while running. It does not break.
If you run it over the car, it does.
Oh.
Yeah. GamePolitics.com, Zune hardware officially abandoned. Yes. I heard it was coming a couple of months ago, but here we go officially.
Don't abandon me. Don't leave me, Microsoft.
Microsoft has officially abandoned Zune, admitting publicly for the first time that production of the hardware has ceased. RIP iPod wannabe. iPod wants to be the Zune.
Yeah.
All right. Microsoft said that Windows Phone will be here, will be where it puts all its attention on in that space, and that Zune will live on as a brand. The Zune brand will live on as the face of Microsoft's content sales services. It remains a mainstay in the entertainment section of the Xbox dashboard, for example. All right, so an official statement reads, We recently announced that going forward, Windows Phone will be the focus of our mobile music and video strategy and that we will no longer be producing Zune players. So what does this mean for our current Zune users? Absolutely nothing. Your device will continue to work with Zune services just as it does today.
Oh, thank you.
We will continue to honor the warranties of all devices for both current owners and those who buy our very last devices. Customer service has been and will remain a top priority for us. When Microsoft launched the first Zune player in 2006, it had high hopes that it would be able to compete with Apple's iPod. After several iterations of the hardware, it was clear that Zune just couldn't compete at the level Microsoft wanted to compete at. I love the Zune that we had. The Zune that we had was awesome.
I think what happened with Zune is the same thing that's happening with the 3DS. Not enough advertising.
Yes.
And
because that thing was awesome.
It is. It was amazingly awesome in comparison to. And there's an iPod in my house. I'm looking at it now. Bastard. But my Zune Tough, the iPod has been dropped. I think it's the second one that's been here. It's been dropped, and then it broke, and the screen cracked. And I'm telling you, I have gone running. I've gone walking with the Zune. It has gotten water on it. It has gotten sweat on it, and it remains. The only thing it did, you know, that I didn't like is it wiped my entire Zune. It reset itself to factory defaults, but that could have had something to do with where I was charging it. Do not charge your charger with the battery thing, even if it does have a USB plug. Sometimes not a good idea. But I love it. I love my Zune. It is tough. It's almost Nintendo-esque in the way that it's built. You cannot destroy these things.
Ours still worked after we ran it over, just we could no longer use the screen.
See?
We couldn't see anything.
That's good product right there, Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I think you guys need to just don't go anywhere yet. Just revamp and come back is what I think.
Yes, revamp and come back, because those iPods are crap.
Yeah, they break. They're too, and they're big. Here, put it this way. There's also an iPod mini here, and that lasted all of 6 months.
Wow.
Honestly. And we have no idea why it doesn't work, because there's no screen. You can't see, you know, what's going on the inside. It just doesn't work anymore. This one, nice little screen. It's not a touch screen, which I don't need. It's tiny. It fits in my pocket, and it's pink, which I don't normally like pink stuff, but I like that this is pink. Cute, and not a scratch on it. I'm telling you. And anybody that's been to my house can tell you I dropped this thing on the regular. I've dropped it in a sink full of soapy water. And this, she works. She's like, you can't kill me. You can't kill me. We don't die. We multiply. Anyway, let me go away. It's time to go.
It is time for us to go.
I think my vitamins are kicking in. All right, guys. We will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Hopefully, GLaDOS will not attack Ginger. She was all on you.
She was. I don't know what her deal was. She needed to get up off me.
Well, we'll go ahead and play her on Omosh. Maybe she'll let this one play. Go on, GLaDOS. Sing your song. She don't want to sing. Look at her. Diva.
Oh,
she's a diva.
She is too. Well, totally know she's a little hair flip.
She sure did. Sing when I'm ready.
Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Oh, how we laughed and laughed. Except I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice. You want your freedom taken. That's what I'm counting on. I used to want you dead, but now I only want you gone. She was a lot like you. Maybe not quite as heavy.
All right, Ginger.
Later, boys and girls.